into episode 49 of Run Talk SA, and boy, have I got a show for you today. One of the most inspiring dudes to run comrades in 2014 joins us on this episode of Run Talk SA, and you are going to love his story. He's got a very, very cool story to share. That's coming up. I just want to say thank you once again to everyone who's popped us emails, sent us tweets or Facebook messages. We really do appreciate all the feedback. Love hearing from you. So if you want to be in touch, you can tweet us at RunTalkSA. You can also pop us a message on our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/RunTalkSA. Or my email address is podcast@runtalksa.co.za. Just a quick heads up as well. A couple of people have noticed that the feed in iTunes is not updating as it should. Just so you know, I am dealing with iTunes, the Apple people in America, and it is slower than soil erosion, I have to tell you. For a company as progressive as Apple, their customer service leaves a lot to be desired. So as soon as that gets back up and running, it will update automatically. But in the meantime, you can still listen to it through the website. You can listen to it on SoundCloud as well. So yeah, please do keep listening to the show also on Stitcher. And if you wouldn't mind leaving us a review or a rating as well on those two platforms, and even on iTunes, it would be much appreciated. The feed is still there. And we definitely appreciate that too. So let's get straight into this week's show. And I catch up with a gentleman by the name of Doe Prinsloo. Well, over the last few weeks, we shared some pretty cool stories here on Run Talk SA. And I wanted to share another one with you this week. We're joined by Doe Prinsloo, who has got an incredible, incredible story. And we'll touch on that today as well. Doe, welcome on to the show. Thanks for taking the time to chat to us.
Thank you, Brad.
Doe, your journey is pretty incredible, and sort of your and my story very similar. We both come from a very overweight sort of background. You've just finished your first Comrades Marathon. Before we sort of go back into how you got started and a little bit about your journey, it's about a month after Comrades now. How are you feeling after your first one?
I'm feeling great. About 2 weeks ago, we started to run again, and yeah, we can still feel the comfort. It's still there, but there's nothing to complain about, really.
Yeah, Doe, you had an amazing run. You dipped just under 11 hours, so you got yourself a bronze medal, which is exactly what you were training for. As a Comrades novice, obviously you had thought about it a long time, and it was something you wanted to do. Obviously, Lindsay Parry and myself and all the webinars and the podcast, we talk about how tough the first one is. And I think once you've done a few, you forget sort of what it's like to be a novice. Was it as hard as you thought it was going to be, or was it a lot harder?
I actually had a very good run. I think because of all the training that I've put in and all the webinars that I've listened to and all the podcasts, I mean, I follow those things. And I really grabbed onto anything that I can. But the training really helped me on. And I also entered for the 1,000-kilometer challenge. And I think that also pushed me along to put in more kilometers, you know, what normally would. I think the training helped me a lot. And I really worked hard. I did almost 2,200 kilometers since June last year. And I think that paid off at the end.
Yeah, it's a hard work pays off, and it has been a hard but very rewarding journey for you. Let's take a couple of steps back, though. Your journey is just phenomenal. I mean, in a nutshell, and we'll get into how you started. I mean, how much weight have you lost since you made the decision that enough is enough? You want to change things.
In total today, where I am today, I lost 53 kilograms.
Wow. I mean, that's incredible. And just to put things into a bit of perspective, I mean, I'm quite a bit taller than you. I'm quite a big guy. You're not that big. So for you to be carrying extra 53 kilograms, how much were you weighing at your heaviest?
When I started, I weighed 133 kilograms.
Gee, that's amazing. And how tall are you?
I'm 1.86 meters tall.
Yes, I mean, you're just over the old 6 foot mark, which is big. But yes, that's a lot of weight that you were carrying. Yeah. Doe, what brought it on? I mean, before we get to what made you decide to turn things around, have you always been sort of big? I mean, were you always overweight your whole life, or did something?
No, not really. When I was in school, I was one of the average kids. And when I went to the army after school as well, I was still in average shape. But after that, things just, you know, life just happens, and everything just got to a place where it just totally got out of hand. And that's when I realized I have to make a change in my life.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird you say things just got out of control. It gets out of control slowly. It sort of creeps up on you. You don't all of a sudden wake up one day, and I speak from experience, you don't all of a sudden wake up one day and you weigh 130-odd kilos. You just pack on a couple of Ks every single year, and before you know it, your jeans start shrinking in the wash. I don't know if you ever had that.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Yeah, I know it's over time. It's something that... And when I started to... Well, we will get to that, but when I started to change my life, I realized there was no quick fix for this. It took me years to get to the point where I was, and it's going to take me some time to get out of that as well. So there was no quick fix, and I realized that.
No, I'm so glad you said that, because so often people are looking for that magic pill or the magic diet and how to lose weight in 2 weeks. And I think that's very important to remember, is that it didn't take you 2 weeks to put the weight on. It's not going to come off in 2 weeks. It's a process, and you need to work hard at it.
Yeah, no, for sure. When I started, I said to myself, and when I started training with my personal trainer, I said, there was not going to be a quick fix. I don't want any shakes. I don't want diets. I don't want pills. I don't want anything. I just want to do it the good old hard way, and I want to work hard, and I want to lose the weight in the right way, because only if you do that, then you can keep it off.
Yeah,
if you try the quick fixes, it's not gonna work.
Yeah, absolutely. And Doe, what was rock bottom for you? What made you decide, yes, you know what, ex gaat vol, enough is enough?
Right. It actually happened in a moment. I woke up one morning and I just realized this is it. I was grossly overweight. I was always sick. I was miserable. I was just not in a good place physically, emotionally. And like I said, I weighed 133 kilograms, and no person can be happy when you in, you know, at that stage of your life. And it was just that one morning when I woke up, and I actually got in my car that morning and I drove to the gym. I was already a member at the gym. I was fully paid up member anyway, but I just never trained. So walked in there and said, I want a personal trainer now. And they lined up and I chose one, and the Monday we started to train.
And that was it. The rest, it sounds so easy. The rest is history, but it's been a long slog. How long has it been since you made that decision, though?
Well, this was way back in January in 2009. That is when I started to train. And that's when I realized that is where my journey started. And it's been a long road up until now, but I did it.
I mean, you talk about the training as well. You obviously changed the way you ate and that sort of thing. Tell us a little bit about the changes you made to your diet.
Well, the big thing for me was, I stayed away from diets. I realized it is a life change. It's a lifestyle change. And the main thing what I did with my personal trainer was just to get into a habit of eating healthy. That was really it. And the one key thing that he started me on was to cut on my carbs in the evening. No pastas, no rice, no things like that in the evening. And that is all I did really. And so I had my carbs during the day, and I needed to learn to eat more healthy meals during the day. I never ate throughout the day. You get home, you attack your fridge, and I had to break that habit. So just healthy eating, that was really it.
And it's also, I mean, you talk about that healthy eating, though. One of the things, and I don't know if you feel this way too, is for me, on my sort of journey, I've realized it's just as easy to eat healthily as it is to eat unhealthily. It's just a case of making that decision.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, it depends on what you put in your fridge or where you stop for dinner and that sort of thing. And then, Doe, as far as your running journey goes, I mean, growing up, were you pretty active? Were you sporty? Were you a runner? Or has this come on sort of since you decided to lose the weight?
No, the first 2 years, I just trained with my personal trainer to get rid of the weight. And I realized that, you know, it's not going to be good for my knees and so on. Well, I didn't have plans to run, to be quite honest with you. But I have a friend, Corin, and she was really nagging me for the whole 2 years that I was training with my personal trainer. Just come and do a race with me. And she was nagging, and one day I said, let me just come and do a 5-kilometer walk and get this woman to be quiet. And my first race was actually a 5-kilometer walk at the PricewaterhouseCoopers Dorpsplaffen there at Menlyn. And that day, after the race, we went to running in. I joined the club. I bought my shoes, and I never stopped running.
It's such a cool story. It's amazing. Yeah. And one thing I like about what you did, though, is you obviously had set some goals that you wanted to do, but Comrades was probably on that bucket list, but you decided to sort of wait a while. You didn't want to do it in your first year. You went and did Oceans first and then took another year and then built up to Comrades. Why was that? I mean, was it just that you were bung for Comrades, or was it that you knew that you needed to be sensible?
Well, you know, as a new runner, when I started, I didn't even, to be honest with you, I didn't have Comrades in my planning at all. But after I did my first ultra, which was the Two Oceans, I realized that maybe it is a possibility. And last year, I went to the Comrades as a supporter, and at the expo, I bought a T-shirt. And the T-shirt said, don't promise, commit. And that day I decided next year I am going to do the Comrades. And that is where my training started, and that is how it got onto the bucket list. So last year in June at the Comrades, that is when I actually decided to do it.
That's such a cool story that it's a sort of full circle. A year later you were on the start line and you made it to the finish line. Talk to me about sort of the apprehension. Obviously, you made the decision, but as a novice, there's a lot of times where you doubt, like, oh, can I do this? I mean, did you have that in the build-up to Comrades, or were you pretty confident that you could do it?
Brad, there was a lot of, you know, I think everybody, when you're a novice runner and you're going to do it for the first time, I think there's a lot of doubt. And I never, how can I say it? I never doubted that I will do the kilometers, the distance. I was afraid of injuries. I was afraid that something will happen along the way that will stop me. And that was the one thing that I was really worried about. But I've really teamed up, got a great team of people around me, you know, doctors and physio and everybody. So always made sure that we have little problem, that we look at it and we deal with it immediately. And I must say, when I got to the starting line, there was just one thing, and that was it. One of the web binders, you guys said, whatever you do, don't stop. And I wrote that on my arm in a black permanent marker that morning. And I every time when you look at your watch, I see don't stop. And that was just my mantra for the day. I realized I needed to just go forward every step towards Durban. And yes, I was worried about that. But when my knee started to hurt, 25 kilometers to go, that is when I really started to worry. But I realized that it wasn't an injury. It was just hammering, because that last, you will know, that last 25 kilometers is just absolute hell. But I pushed on. I from the beginning, when I started to run, I had one little thing that I kept for myself, and that is enter for a race. You pitch up, you start, you push on, and you finish. And that was in my mind the whole time. You started this race, you just have to finish it. And yeah, when I crossed that line at the finish, it was absolutely amazing. It was a fantastic feeling.
I mean, it's still fresh in your mind, finishing Comrades. Describe that feeling for me. For someone who's possibly listening to this thinking 2015 is their year, and they're wondering if they can do it, describe that feeling of finishing Comrades, though.
It is, you know, people, I've listened to so many people talking about it and how they experienced it and the feeling of accomplishment and so on. And when I crossed that line, I remember attending the pre-Comrades church service here in Victoria. And one thing that Jan de Wet said is that when you cross that line, you give glory to God, because without Him, it's not possible to do it. And if you go and look at my video, you will see that I just lift my hands and I said thank you, because you realize it's not in your own power that you can do it. You've done all the work, you've done all the preparation, everything was there, but it's not in your own might, in your own power that you can do that. So when I crossed that line at 4:27 in the afternoon, it was just, you know, first thing is I'm done, And then the second thing is just, I've actually made it. And, you know, there's a quote, if you allow me to use this quote, it's Nelson Mandela who said, it always seems impossible until it's done. And comrades to me seem to be an impossibility. But when I crossed that line, that impossibility became my reality. And that was the moment when it clicked and said, you've done the comrade.
Yeah, that's so cool. And Do, that friend of yours, Karen, who roped you into doing your first 5K, what's her take on you running Comrades?
Well, she did the Comrades as well.
Awesome.
We all did it. Yeah, we're a group of friends. We always run together, and every single one of us finished the race. In different times, obviously, we didn't run together all the way, but yeah, we all met up at the beginning, and we all met up at the finish again. So that was really a special moment for all of us to just finish the race. And some of us first time, it was her first comrade as well, and she did really well. All of us, we are. Are we looking forward to 2015?
I was going to ask you. I mean, we're a month on. Obviously, you like most people afterwards, said never again. I never want to do that again. But you've softened up. Your legs are feeling a bit better, and you're in for 2015 for the back-to-back.
Well, that very day when we finished, I mean, we were tired and we were really like just want to get home and just get a lie down and just rest. But at the finish line, we said, next year, we are back. I did not say never ever again because I realized that, you know, it's just, you know, you push your own borders. I mean, you just know that you can do it. And next year's an outrun. I'm not very, very keen on outruns. But I just have to do it. It's the 90th Comrades celebration, and it's my back-to-back, so I'll just have to go and do it. And we're all going to go back, so yeah, we're looking forward to that.
Do you know what they
say? In fact, we actually booked our accommodation today.
Oh, fantastic. Year, so. You know what they say about Comrades runners? They say Comrades runners can't count. Two's halfway to 10, so once you've done two, it's you're sucked in for life, eh?
That's what I'm worried about. But it's fine. Yeah, no, we will do it.
Joe, this journey of yours has been incredible. I mean, it's just on 5 years, basically, since you made the decision. What is it? What's the biggest lesson you've learned in those 5 years?
You know, there's actually a few of them, but one of the most important ones is that people must never tell you that you cannot do something. If you put your mind to it, and if you realize that it's something that you want to do, I mean, I went through certain steps. I accepted where I was. I took responsibility for where I was. It was nobody else's fault. It was my own doing that I was there. I had to face my fears. I had to take small steps to go forward and to do my races. Be patient. I mean, nothing was going to happen just in a month or 2 months' time. I had to kill my own excuses. I mean, there's very easy excuses to get out of a race. And I had to follow my passion. I mean, my passion wasn't really running. My passion grew to be running because I was never a runner before. So it is something that it was a process to actually get to that point. And then it became a dream. And then one of the things that I also learned was that you have to accept failure. If you have a bad race, so what? Then you just go back. And the other thing for me that is at this stage really important is that I'm a strong believer of paying it forward. It is really important for me to give back the knowledge that I have gained over the years and with the training. And I got involved actually with Run and Walk for Life here in Montana. And I'm running with the guys there, training with them once a week, give my time to them, help them to train. And a few of them already done their first 21s, my first two guys are now training for their first marathon. And we're just together in that. And that is one of the wonderful things for me, is to give back and to share your experience with others. Otherwise, you know, if you have that knowledge and you don't share it, it means nothing, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Do, what's the biggest thing you love about your life now? Like the body you're in now compared to 5 years ago and just the way things are compared to what they were?
When we started the chat, I said to you, I started off at a place where I was overweight, I was always sick, I was miserable, not in a good place physically, not in a good place emotionally. And all that has changed. I and I became a much more easier person to be with, much more friendly. I've got wonderful friends. I mean, I'm surrounded by really stunning people. And, you know, you meet people through running, and the friendships that you form is just unbelievable. And the support that one has is really, you know, it's just something that money can't buy. So for me to be healthy and to be energetic and to look forward to a day and to look forward to a weekend to go out and run, and do all these races and train for certain things, that is what's driving me at the moment.
Awesome. Doe, Princey, I think you are incredible. Your story is amazing. Keep doing what you're doing and inspiring people. If people want to get in touch with you online, I know you blog, you're on Twitter, you're pretty active as well. Where can people find you online?
Well, people can go to my website. It is www.myownjourney.co.za, and there they will find my Twitter handle and my Facebook page links. Everything is there. I update all my races. I put some blogs on there on certain things that I talk about, so people can just go there.
Do, what I'll do is I'll put those links as well in the show notes for this episode of Run Talk SA. Thanks for your time. Yeah, we'll see you out on the road. All the best for this year, and you're back to back in 2015.
Thank you, Gordon. Thank you for having me, and happy running to everybody.
What an amazing story, eh? I really hope you enjoyed my chat with Doe. He is an absolute legend. I met him, I think it was earlier this year, or was it towards the end of last year? Just an incredible, incredible story, and I'm so glad I got to share it with you today here on Run Talk SA. I also just wanted to give you a heads up. If you haven't heard it yet, we've launched the Ask Prof Noakes podcast. We've been getting tons of questions for Professor Tim Noakes, and a lot of people wanting to know about the low-carb, high-fat diet. Well, we have launched a podcast for Prof Noakes. It comes out 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I'll pop the links in the show notes for this episode as well if you want to have a listen to that. It's also on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud as well, and it is getting rave reviews. So it is number one in the iTunes store in South Africa, the overall iTunes store. So it's the number one podcast in the country at the moment, which is great news. And then also, I sent out a survey a couple of weeks ago where I was asking you what you wanted us to chat about here on Run Talk SA and on the platform on TalkFeed. Most people, you'll be surprised, I'm not surprised, you might be, but I'm definitely not. The vast majority of people want to get faster. They want to know how to improve their 10K half marathon time, and ultimately their comrades' marathon time. So the good news is, Coach Lindsay Perry and I are working on some training that'll get you faster. It's coming, okay? So just keep an ear out, keep an eye out, and I will let you know as soon as we launch. We're going to get you to your 10K PB before the end of the year, okay? How's that for a deal? It's coming, so keep an ear to Run Talk SA or Ask Coach Perry, that podcast. It'll be announced on there and here, and I look forward to helping you before the end of the year as well. It's going to be brilliant. So until next time, I'm heading down to Knysna next week for the Big Five, the Knysna Big Five Challenge. I'll be running the Knysna Marathon next weekend, so if you are around and you do spot us, please come say, how's it? And I have to tell you as well, also got an interview coming up with one of our international runners, a guy by the name of Joel Runyon, coming up on an upcoming episode of Run Talk SA as well. He's an amazing dude, also got a crazy, crazy story, and I'm looking forward to sharing that with you as well. So that's all coming up. Until next time, from myself, Brad Brown, have yourself a brilliant week, and we'll chat from Knysna. Cheers.